Thank you very much for the introduction. The presentation is called Explosion Diagrams in Augmented Reality, and my name is Dennis Kalkofen. I'd like to motivate the work I will present with two images showing the problems we have in X-ray visualizations in augmented reality. What you see here is, on the left side, a yellow car with an object of interest augmented, which is the engine and the wheels of the car. And the object is actually perfectly registered in space in 3D, and it's correctly shaded, but for some reason it looks wrong. We are not able to pick up the 3D position of these objects relative to the car. The same is true for the little mini car on the right side, where you see the engine actually rendered on top of the front lid. The reason why we perceive these in a wrong way is because our augmentations remove very important and depth cues. And in the case of the engine and the wheels, we remove the very important occlusion cues. The little figure on the bottom you see is actually rendered behind the real figures, the red and the yellow one. And therefore, we perceive that the virtual character walks behind the real ones. So if we go back to our car example, we can actually re-add this occlusion information, which we have done in a previous publication. On the left side, you see the edges as the most important informations on the occluding structures re-added to our augmentations next to the object of interest. On the right side, you see these little, with a little transparency offset, so that there is not only binary information re-added. This works for single occlusion layers. So what you see here is the engine and the wheels and only one occluding layer, the chassis of the car. If we have a little more complicated object like this Lego car, you will see that this technique kind of fails. On the left side, you see the real object, and on the right side, you see the bottom plate of the car as the object of interest and the edges of all the occluding structures augmented to it. Okay, if we have multiple layers of occluding structures, it can go even worse. What you see here is a totally cluttered image, and the object of interest is not even seen anymore on the right side of these two images. Okay, so what we tried was another technique called cutaways. With cutaways, we are actually able to mentally interpolate these occlusion cues. What we do is we cut out a part of the occluding structures, and our brain is good enough to re-add these structures. But still, we lose information, and this only works as long as the cutout is small enough. So there is something that that we can use to re-add the occlusion, to interpolate mentally the occlusions. So we thought it might be possible to cut a hole somewhere where we want to see the object of interest but still keep the occluding structure. And this is what we did with the explosion diagrams. We actually moved the occluding structure out of the way so that we can easily see the object of interest. Okay, so what you can see here is it works for a single layered object. If we use multiple layers, it gets complicated again. On the left side, you see a virtual version of this Lego car I showed you before, and on the right side, you see a pretty cluttered explosion diagram of multiple layers occluding the green-red plate. So what we actually have to do is we have to lay out our explosion diagrams in case of multiple layers occluding the object of interest so that we can perceive the explosion in a way that we can mentally reassemble the exploded object. For X-ray visualizations, we can even group these the explosion diagrams. So it's not actually necessary to explode all of the parts of the occluding object. We can try to find groups so that we can show the object of interest and everything else next to it in its context. Okay, so how do we render these groupings of explosions? First of all, we have to find all possible partitionings of our objects, which means that we have to find sequences of removal of parts that we can actually remove from the object, that we can see our object of interest in the end. Here you see a number of cases. This is a valid partitioning of the object, this is a valid partitioning, but also these grouped two partitions are very valid. On the right side, however, you see non-valid partitionings. This gray block is the object of interest, and if we move it out to the top, it will interfere with other parts of the object, and therefore this is not a valid partitioning. This on the bottom is not a valid partitioning too, because the partition here on the right side is not connected anymore, and therefore we can't explode it further. Okay, if we have all the possible partitionings of our object, we can search for these groups. And we create these focus and context visualizations by trying to find the sequence which contains the most parts without the focus object, which looks like this. Here on the right side is the focus object, and this is the partitioning which contains most of the parts without the focus object. So if we apply it to our little example here, we will get such an explosion on the bottom, and if we apply it to our car, the explosion will look like this. Okay, so once we have the explosion layout, we have to move our real world information. So what we do is we render the virtual object on top of our real object. We register the virtual object and then we explode it. But we remember the explosion transformation, and during rendering the virtual object, we pick up the real world video information by applying the inverse of the explosion transformation. And the result, if we do it, looks like this. However, what you see here on the right bottom side is a perfectly virtual scene, which means that the scene which we see behind our real world information is 100% virtually modeled. If this is not the case, our technique will fail. This you see here on the left side, we have a perfectly virtual model, and on the right side, the inner part of the parts next to the engines are missing, and therefore you see the video again, and we have doubled video information, which we do not want to have. Therefore, we modified our rendering algorithm a little, and instead of only rendering the exploded parts, we also render the object in its registered position, like here. So we have the object actually twice in our scenario. Once it cuts out the video information, and the second part, the second time the part is in, transfers the video information, which you see here. And the result is a mask which is able to cut out the video information, and the video textured explosion, which you see here. Okay, however, there is still a problem. If the phantom objects, which are registered on the real model, occlude each other, we still transfer video information twice, which you see here. The wheel is occluded by this part of the car, and if we simply explode it, we will transfer this whole part of the car to the wheel. So to not allow this, we added an ID buffer to our algorithm, which controls the transfer of the video information. And what you see here is that the algorithm tests if this part of the video is assigned to the wheel, and it finds out that this is only a virtual part of the wheel, and therefore it doesn't use the video information. But what you see here is the result is a mix of video and virtual information. So if we apply this technique to these little more complicated Lego car and explode everything, we will end up with such a visualization. It is kind of a mess of mixed information. We have real and virtual information. Look here at the bottom plate of the car. There is this yellow part is from the video, from the real, and the green is virtual information. So we have to find a strategy to to unify this, to either use virtual or to use real world information. So what we do is we count the number of fragments used on each part. And if this is more than 50% real, we try to interpolate, we try to guess the real world information. If this is less than 50% real, we simply use virtual information. And on the right side, you see the modified version, the green plate, the bottom plate is only green, and here on the wheel you see how we try to guess the real world information. Okay, another problem we have with explosion diagrams in augmented reality is their discrimination. If we move a part out of its real context into another context, we might do not understand the part anymore. Here on the right side, you see the wheel, which is over one of those air toolkit markers, and it's really hard to see what it is. The same is true for these regions. It is kind of a mess of information and really hard to see what is what. So what we try to do is we try to use lines and and other discriminators, and it turns out that the best looking results we got was using these halo lines around one of the exploded parts. Okay, so the third visualization style you see in explosion diagrams is always these connection lines, which try to help you to mentally reassemble the object. In a virtual case, it's usually these dashed lines with a very high very high contrast to the background. In augmented reality, however, the background is real, and therefore we can't really say what it will be. And it's usually not as uniform as we have it in VR, and the result is that we probably miss some of these dashed lines like you see here on the right side. So we try to think how we can solve this problem, and we came up with a motion blur instead of the connection lines. We saw in a virtual test that the motion blur is much stronger to communicate the explosion we have applied. And we moved it to our real-world scenario, and we ended up with such a visualization. Okay, and then we thought, since the motion blur is virtual and it's more uniform than a real-world background, we may can even add our connection lines, our dashed connection lines, on top of the motion blur. And the result looks pretty good, I think. Okay, so this already brings me to the conclusion of my talk. We have implemented a system which automatically creates a focus and context layout of an object. We have shown algorithms which render these explosion diagrams in augmented reality, and we have shown visualizations which help to mentally reassemble the explosion. Okay, so what will we do in the future? What I didn't talk about is the tracking error. Usually, the tracking error with these error toolkit markers is pretty big. What you see here, for example, on the wheel, is an exploded part of the little Lego car, and the video transfer is kind of wrong. What you see here is part of the wheel, but this part of the wheel is not part of the wheel, actually. Here you see the tracking error. So we have to find something to compensate for this error. Here you see another example with a little less tracking error. Here you see there's a little offset in the registration of the virtual model on top of the real world, which you can see here with these edges a little better. And if I explode this object, you see it's hard to understand, especially for very small objects. So we are currently playing with these edge overlays to kind of compensate for this error. Other errors are model errors. The automatic layout computation depends on a perfectly modeled virtual model. And if there are overlappings on the model itself, we fail to detect their connections. Another topic is the evaluation of the visualizations I showed you. On a first look, they look good, but we definitely have to scientifically evaluate them and set up a user study to say which one are actually better than the others. Same is true for the grouping of the parts on different models. It works very well for the model I showed you, and we have tried another one, but there are probably different kinds of models where we might fail with our grouping algorithm. So we have to test which models are good for our algorithms and which are not. And last but not least, there is currently no real interactions instead of explode and unexplode. And we want to extend our system with interaction techniques. Thank you very much for your attention. And if you have time, visit my webpage about my PhD topic. Thanks a lot.
Okay, we have plenty of time for questions. Steve?
A question about the explosion approach. There's been a lot of work that people have done in explosions, and usually they deal only with explosions that involve translations. Have you thought about or simply tried to ignore ones in which you have to both rotate and translate?
Actually, we are thinking about rotations. The problem with our approach is that the video information is good for translations, but as soon as we rotate, we do not have any information anymore. We have to use virtual information as soon as we rotate one of the objects.
Another question. Let me actually rethink and I'll ask it later.
Okay. You mean relighting the real information, or the
your mask matching the real
information?
I was asking about maybe like a dynamic shader. What his thoughts were on matching the real lighting of the matching the mask to the real lighting of the video.
Actually, we didn't think about it yet, but it's a good point. There is, of course, a huge difference between the video information and the the look of a real exploded object and the virtually shaded parts in there. No, we didn't think about it yet.
There's been a lot of work in the non-photorealistic rendering world on doing line drawings of things. Mm-hmm. And looking at that car, for example, the yellow one at the bottom, there's a lot of lines in that tire towards the front, which were more than you'd imagine that a person who was drawing a picture like that would actually draw.
Yeah.
So if you looked at trying to apply some of those algorithms to cut down on the excess number of lines.
Actually, there are two approaches. One is to extract the lines from an object, which most of the time result in much better images, and the other is extracting the lines from the image. What we do is something in between. We render the virtual object in an off-screen image, and then we detect the images, the edges on this image. And the reason is that we want to apply the same algorithms to pure real-world scenarios, like you see on the left side on the red car. There is an edge detector on the video image, which detects the highlights, and then we transfer this information to the site to create this this transparency falloff. But you're right. Edges from the model are probably much better.
Don't be shy. So, I have a question about your motion blur. In this still image, it seems like you're adding visual clutter, where if it were just a dotted line, it doesn't really add much, even though it's confusing or you can't see them very well. So it seems like your motion blur might actually occlude things that you want to see.
It seems to me that the motion blur is more uniform than most of the real-world scenarios. So what you see here is between this part and this part, there is something black, something white, black, white, and so on. And the motion blur is most of the time the same color. And I don't know, it seems that you can perceive the motion blur as one object much better than the information which is behind the motion blur. And therefore, it's probably much better to embed these connection lines in the motion blur. At least what I think.
Another question. I'm trying to remember, but was your car pretty much... I was going to ask a question about trying to suppress the markers that you have over there, because clearly a lot of the problem is because of the high frequency of the markers being very op-artish, right? But I guess there would be some potential issues since the object, even though it's residing in the center where there aren't, has height. Depending upon the angle with which you see things, you may end up suppressing parts of that object as well, unless you are detecting it relative to the known marker image. So it would seem to me that there should be some way to suppress that without also blotching out the object.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. We don't have any self-occlusion strategies yet. This is there's a point here.
Okay, let's thank Dennis again.